Triple A is a unique teaching series in which Pastor Di Hanke gave members of Hill City Church license to ask absolutely anything, promising to provide answers that are honest, blunt, and biblical. We trust that you find the answers given to be both enjoyable and helpful. If we can assist you further, or if you have any questions that you'd like to be considered for future AAA series, please contact us via our website at www.hillcitychurch.org.
This morning is such a difficult thing for me to speak on. Let me tell you why. You're not going to hear me as a preacher this morning. You're going to hear me partially as a pastor and partially as a human being. Because I'm talking on the subject of relationships. I have never preached on relationships before. And there's a very good reason for that. It's because I've always felt like a hypocrite to talk about relationships. Because of every area in my life, both before I was a Christian and after I became a Christian, this area has been the biggest single cause of both guilt and God's grace in my life. And I've had times before where people said, "Di, can you come and do a talk on relationships?" I'm like, no, literally, I don't feel that I have the right to talk to you about relationships because I've screwed up in that area so much. And so everything that comes out of my mouth this morning, I pray that it comes out humbly, that I want to teach what the Bible says, but I don't want it to be a hint of arrogance or a hint of looking down my nose. I want this to be from my heart to you, to your hearts, guys, okay? I want you to know I'm a trophy of God's grace in the area of relationships. Some of that will come out in the talk, and some of it I don't want to talk about because I've been forgiven for it. But suffice to say that this isn't an easy thing for me to speak on this morning. As I've said all the way through the AAA series, there's been things I've never preached on before. I've never preached on spiritualism before. I've never preached on suffering before. I've never preached on money before. And now I've never preached on this before, okay? So it's not going to be a sort of like a teaching sermon. I'm going to splurge my heart out to you, if that's okay, from the Bible. I believe that the Bible tells the truth, regardless of how I've been in the past or how you've been in the past, regardless of how I'm doing right now. I believe that this book is constant. I believe it's the truth. And so I'm going to preach from the Bible. And at points, I'm going to have to put my hands up and say, do you know what? I've blown it. But all the way through, I want God's grace and God's love and God's mercy to us to be the kind of thread that holds this sermon together, okay? Because that's why I can stand here at all and talk to you about this. Just a quick recap, the AAA series is our Ask Absolutely Anything series. It's the final part this morning of this current one. If you've enjoyed it, if there's been things which you thought, do you know what, that's been quite helpful, there's other issues which you think you'd like answers for, please stick them in the box. I am hoping to do another one before the end of the year, probably over the summer holidays sort of time. So if you've got any questions that you want me to address, do you want to make me feel awkward for another 6 weeks of my life, you want to bring me out of my comfort zone and ask me the real humdingers, then please do that, because it's good that I'm being stretched, and it's good that we're having answers to questions that need to be answered. And the reason I think this is a big issue this morning, okay, we'll put the question up in a minute, but relationships is such a massive issue culturally. Like, in the Bible, it wouldn't strike me as a mega theme of Scripture, certainly not human-to-human relationships. It's in there, it's regular, but I wouldn't say it was a mega theme, like, God's holiness or something like that. But what I would say is that it is a mega theme in our culture, that everywhere you go, people are on about relationships. I mean, I've got a mobile phone. I've turned it off because I don't want it to go off in my sermon. But here's the thing. I regularly have to check my phone to get my Hotmail stuff and also to check how Cardiff City are doing. So like, I'm always on my phone. And after about 10 o'clock at night, Orange World page changes. Because after 10 o'clock at night, if you haven't got like a partner or if you're not with someone, you start feeling lonely. So rather than saying, download the latest game, you get chat and flirt. You get meet so-and-so online. You get adult content. You get everything which is saying you need to be in a relationship. And if you can't, and if you haven't got one by 10 o'clock at night, then do it through the internet. Do it through your mobile phone. Do it through whatever. I know that all the way from going through school, from year 7, if you haven't got a boyfriend or a girlfriend by year 7, there's something wrong with you. I mean, all your mates, they've had about 20 girlfriends or boyfriends by the time they're in year 7. And so you start fronting, you start making up stories, you start getting involved in stupid things. There's relational stuff going on around you all the time. There's pressure from the media. You know, I mean, like the stuff which goes on in EastEnders, which has got to be the most crazy place in the world to live. I mean, I know that there's some, you know, I know that we all, you know that like there's some messed up relationships in the world right now, but like they all, about 50% of the ones in Britain are in Albert Square. It's nuts. Like, you know, but, you know, this stuff goes on from the media, from our friends, from our peer groups. When people talk over their coffee, they're either talking about like who they want to be with, or who they are with, or who they shouldn't have been with. It's everywhere, all the time. And for us, as a church, we need to know where we stand on this. Because what we're not going to do is just sort of, you know, do the whole ostrich thing and go through like our lives as Christians, putting our head in the sand and just pretend that we don't really know and we don't really care and we're in our little holy huddle and we do our little thing in church on Sundays and we're all good. Because let's be honest, we're not all good. We all got things which we need to deal with. We all need something, you know, we sang earlier, on Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And this is a sinking sand quagmire for us. And even when you've got someone, it doesn't stop being a sinking sand quagmire. Okay, so the question that came up was a very, very, I think, a real genuine question, a real honest question, a question which I think is coming from a real good place. And this is a question. It says in the Bible that it's not good for man to be on his own. So why is it taking so long for me to find my partner? The whole partner word still freaks me out a bit because, like, you know, I think partner is what you had in tennis. Or something like that, do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, like, you know, no partner is your husband or wife or whatever. Like, I still can't get my head around it because I'm a values boy and, you know, new ideas take a long time to sink in. So I still don't think I've got a partner, right? Because I got a wife. Apparently I've got a partner as well. But that's what it's saying. And I believe that question is coming from the heart of, I want to be with somebody that, you know, I want it to be, you know, a commitment. Like, just from the way the question is phrased, it doesn't sound like somebody that's looking for a fling to me. Sound like somebody that is really sort of like craving genuine relationship, genuine intimacy with someone. And so we're going to look at what this whole business comes from, and we're going to start in the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings. That's what it means. I'm just going to share some scriptures with you. So it's going to come up on the screen, okay? So some of the stuff which I want us to look at. I left my Bible in the house by accident this morning. Bad confession, I've got a hardback. I'm really bad at flicking through hardbacks, so you have to forgive me. In fact, I'm going to take this cover off because I know it's going to like end up causing me all sorts of problems. But here we go. Genesis chapter 1. Now, the whole Bible starts with, in the beginning, God created. So God is the kind of key factor in the whole relational thing. Let me tell you why. Because we believe in a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son loves the Spirit loves the Father. They all love each other. It is an eternal, never-ending cycle of love going on within the Trinity of God. And that's a really, 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 really important thing to grasp. Because if God was just on his own, if God were, you know, wasn't Father, Son, Holy Spirit, if he was just God the Father, this next thing would make us God. Let me tell you why. Then God said, let us make man in our image, okay? You have been created to both know, to experience, and to give and receive love. It's in all of you. You inherently have the capacity to both love and to be loved. If God, at some point in eternity past, was just God the Father, he would not have been able to have either loved someone else because there was no one else to love, or to have been loved by someone else because there was no one else to love him. Therefore, you were created with something which God hasn't got. Because you are able to love and to be loved. And we see it all the time. We are longing for love. We are doing so many, we make so many of our decisions, so many of our thoughts are all about, I want to be loved, or I want to give love. You need to know that God is love. That's what the Bible says. And it isn't, God isn't just love like a fluffy idea. God actually loves himself. The Father loves the Son loves the Spirit. God as a Trinity is a God of love. And therefore, we were made in the image of God. So this is what it says. Let us make man in our image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Guys, this is, I guess, the big theme of this morning's talk, is that we mustn't get so carried away by the horizontal love that we look for in other people and forget about the fact that primarily we were created to love God. That's the relationship primarily that we were created for. But obviously in our culture, in our society, because people don't give a stuff about God, the only love that we know how to pursue or to obsess about is the horizontal love, person to person. But I want the mega theme of this morning's talk to be that God created us to love Him and to be loved by Him. That's why God made man. So God made man in His image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. It's not that men were made in God's image and women weren't. Women, you're very much as much made in the image of God as us blokes are. Okay, so next slide then for us, please, Philippa. We were created for a relationship. Now this is really interesting. Everything that God said when He made the world, He said it was either good or very good. When He finished the whole creating the world thing, He said it's very good. Apart from one thing. One thing the Bible says was not good, and that's this. Then the Lord God said, this is in Genesis chapter 2, it's not good that the man should be alone. That was the part of the question which was flagged up. God said Himself, this wasn't the bloke kicking off saying, I feel lonely. God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. So I will make him a helper fit for him. Obviously all the blokes that go, yeah, she had to be fit, didn't she? So like, you know, I'll make him a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. That's the first reference to general anesthetic in the history of the world, as far as I know. Just a little sub point, I'm not allowed to have that general anesthetic anymore. True story, it's in my notes now, because I get really violent when I come out of it. Honestly, I come out swinging punches, so they won't give it to me anymore. I'm a nice person normally, but when I have general anesthetic, it's all over. Right, so, and basically, it basically says, this is what happened, this is how women came into the world. It's a classic story, you've all heard it. Adam steps up to God one day, he says, God, you know, I love the garden, I love the cats, the dogs, I love the animals, you know, I really like the hippopotamuses, they're just funky. But here's the thing, I'm a bit lonely. Is there any chance you can make me a helper, a soulmate, somebody I can call my own, somebody I can snuggle with, you know, at the end of the day? And God says, I'll cost you an arm and a leg. So Adam goes, all right, what do I get for a rib? Boom. Oh, sorry. Okay. I know. Terrible joke. All right. But here we go. It says, while he slept, God took one of his ribs, closed up his place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from a man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man, this is apparently Hebrew poetry. That's poetic. I don't know, like, if you guys wonder what to do on Valentine's Day, you want to write a little card for your loved one? I bust a bit of this. This at last is bone of my bones. And flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man! Because she was taken out of man. That would be my advice to you, like, what to put in a Valentine's card. And then it goes on to say, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the first marriage in the history of the world. And it all came from God saying, it's not good for man to be alone. So, you know, marriage and relationship and wanting to be in relationship with somebody else comes from God. It's God's idea. But you need to see how it worked out. God said it's not good for man to be alone. God said, I'll make him a helper fit for him. Not a helper who's just going to sort of be there, but it's going to be totally inappropriate for him. It's quite funny, like, I put a few dots here. Because where those dots are, like, all the animals came before Adam first. He's like, I'm not going out with that, not going out with that, that's a pig, I'm not going out. And, like, you know, so he just wasn't having any of that going on. But, you know, and it's in there, it's hilarious. But all the while, God had already said, I'll make him a helper fit for him. It's not like that the animals are sort of like got first dibs. That wasn't going to happen. It's just like quite a funny little sort of bit of what happened. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he did what needed to be done so that he could bring a woman to the man. It's a picture of a father bringing the bride down the aisle. Look at it. He made the rib into a woman and brought her to the man. Like a father walks his daughter down the aisle, puts the hand of the daughter in the hand of the groom, and he says, there you go, happy days. It's game on, you're married now. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In other words, just to be, you know, just say what it's basically saying, they're going to go on a honeymoon, they're going to have a lot of sex, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed, because there's no shame in marriage. That's completely fine, that's completely the right context for that kind of intimacy between a man and a woman. And Hill City Church is passionate about marriage. A lot of you don't know this, okay? A lot of you don't know this, but we did our first marriage this weekend at Hill City Church. I officiated my first wedding. Isn't that good? This morning, I was sat on my sofa, and I was probably just like reading something, and Ellen was playing with Happy Land. Happy Land is a great little plastic sort of set for kids. And yesterday we bought her the church because she wanted a Happy Land church. And, you know, so we got this all sort of like this little sort of proper old school Anglican chapel with a vicar with a skinhead just like me, but it was a bald head really. And he had a little dog collar on. And there's a husband and a bride and a groom and a little horse and a carriage. And you ring the and you press the roof and it goes and so I'm sat there on the sofa and Ellen said this to me, most beautiful thing she's ever said this week. And she said, "Daddy, can you come to church and do one of your preaches?" And so I had to preach at the wedding for the it was beautiful. And so I was like, "Lord, we're gonna do it today to..." But you want to know the funny thing? She'd lost the groom. So the poor bride is still standing at the altar right now. So I got to go home and try and talk the groom into turning up a bit later because he said, and that's a true story. I was hunting high and low for the groom, but he got cold feet somewhere and he's gone. I know where he is. He's down Ninian Park, but that's another story. There we go. So I officiated my first wedding for Ellen this morning, and I did one of my preaches for this wedding. But you know, that's what we believe is, like, you know, is God's plan. Both for society and for man and woman. We don't think that God is into just sort of messing around with sex. We don't think that God is just into sort of like non-committal stupidity. We don't think chat and flirt is what God, you know, is in God's Bible. We believe that God wants a man and a woman to, in covenant relationship, in love, to come together and be together. So let's move on to the next slide and we'll sort of crack on with this. So, this talk is kind of in two halves. One is for the Christians, and then the other half is for those who aren't Christians, and the other half isn't as big as the first half, so it's not really an half, but for the sake of my limited values education, they're both halves. You get me? There's two bits. Right. So this is a bit I want to say, like, for you lot who are Christians, and especially for whoever asked that question, and for those who will be asking the same question, and that is this. Marriage is important. Marriage really is important. You know, it's so been undermined. People don't give a stuff about marriage these days, it seems. But marriage is important. I've got three reasons why it's important for us. Number one, because it's God's idea. If God says something's a good idea, I'm not going to argue with him. I lose arguments with Michelle. And, like, let alone God. So if God says it's a good idea, I ain't gonna roll my sleeves up on that one, bruv. It's like, all right. I know when I've met my match, literally. So marriage is important because it's God's idea. But also, it works. Now, I've got to be careful on this because I know that in some instances, marriage doesn't work. I know that in some instances, it breaks down, that, like, when you bring two sinful human beings together, it doesn't always work out. But statistically, couples who get married and couples who don't get married, it's the ones who get married who statistically are together longer than those who don't get together. So statistically, it does work. It's not perfect. It's not bulletproof. What I'm not doing is saying that, you know, we should be sort of pursuing, you know, marriage because it's a magic formula for happiness and everything's going to be funky and hunky-dory from there on in. That's not what I'm saying. Marriage is hard. It's hard graft. But I believe it's something which we should be shooting for as a church. And thirdly is this. And this is important. Marriage paints a picture of the gospel. We as a church need to be finding as many ways as we possibly can to show to our world that there is a faithful God, a loving God, a God who redeems, a God who saves, a God who's committed when we're not, a God who is just so into, like, just faithfulness and loyalty to us. Well, I want other people to know that we don't preach some big God with a stick with a big stick who smacks people when they get it wrong and is just really angry all the time because the world is so messed up. I want to preach a God who, it says in the Bible, came down to redeem for himself, to buy himself, almost to pay a dowry with his own blood, a bride, which is you and me. And to say, I'm going to be committed to you even if you're not committed to me. I'm going to be a faithful husband to you as people even if you betray me. And all the way through the Bible, we see God is like a faithful husband who loves his people no matter what. He says, I'm sticking with you. I'm for you. My love's never going to die for you. Even to the point where it says that the end times, when God comes back, he's going to come back for as a groom coming back to claim his bride who is rightfully his. And there'll be what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to look at that a bit later on. But all the way through the Bible, Jesus coming, dying for us, laying down his life for us, making us his, and saying, I'm with you no matter what, is an incredible picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wants our marriages and our relationships to reflect that. So I think that, like, for us as Christians, if we take the gospel seriously, we should take marriage seriously. because it's meant to say, hey, there's commitment, there is love, there is going the extra mile, there's doing the hard yards, but there is something which isn't going to break. Next bit. But, and this is really important as well, singleness in the Bible is neither sinful nor second best. There's nothing wrong with being single. In our culture, there is. I've got a friend, and he's a really good Christian guy. He's my age. I spent 4 years in university with him. He was more intelligent than me. He'd done some scientific degree. I did a degree in leisure. So on academic levels, he's a lot more intelligent than me. Now, he hasn't had, as far as I know, he hasn't had a relationship in his whole life. He certainly isn't married. And he's got parents who aren't Christians. And almost every week, every month, they're saying to him, are you sure you're not gay? And it winds him up, because he doesn't want to be seen as that, but they think that because he's not in a relationship, there must be something inherently wrong with him. But he doesn't want to just sort of settle for anything. He wants to do what's right, and he wants to sort of be committed, and be with the person that God says he's to be with. But this is what Paul writes, and this is a really big scripture, guys, because as a church, we do not look down on people who are single. We do not think we're better than people who are single. In fact, we see that singleness is a gift and a blessing within its own context, and God does call some people to be single. If you don't believe me, show me where Jesus' wife was in the Bible, and I'll say that the best bloke that ever lived was single, so therefore, no argument. Yeah? So Paul writes this. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish it all were as I myself am. That's not like, check me out, you're saying I'm single. And so he says, each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say, it's good for them to remain single as I am. But if they can't exercise self-control, all the blokes are like, whew, they should marry. For it's better to marry than to burn with passion. But he says, there's nothing wrong with being single. It's actually, he says, each has his own gift from God. I don't know one man who thinks that singleness could ever be a gift from God. In my life, in my sphere, I don't know anybody who could say, do you know what, I really aspire to be single. I don't know one bloke who that is the case for. But I do know this. I know that so many of the Christians who I just really respect, whose walk with Jesus is one that I really covet, who just seem to have this real kind of hotline to God, who have a spiritual edge to them that I just really wish that I could be like that, that either have never been married or they're widowed and they aren't in a relationship, and it's a gift to them. And I can see that although they haven't got perhaps that human relationship, this relationship is absolutely spot on. And then Paul goes on to write this on the issue of singleness. And this is important, guys. And I know a lot of you who are married and a lot of you who are single who are going to get this. Next slide. I want you to be free from anxieties. Can I say, as a pastor of a church, that is my heart for you. I want you to be free from stress. I don't want any of you to be stressed out, vexed at people. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed, that means engaged woman, is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But that married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. How many of you married men can say, do you know what? As much as you appreciate being married, your life isn't what it was. In a good way. But there's things that you just can't do now. There's a way of life that is just not yours to have anymore because you actually care about your wife. You care about your family. You want to make sure that she's okay. So whereas back in the day you could go out with all the boys, or you could, if you're a Christian, you could go and to all the prayer meetings. I don't know. You could spend all your money on missions trips. But whatever it is that you were doing beforehand, when you take a wife, all of a sudden, your life and your priorities will shift. They have to. I absolutely love Michelle. I can't, you see me and Michelle, and I love the girl to bits. I absolutely do. I'm grateful to God for her. But we would both tell you that we're doing less than we would have been doing before when we were on our own. There's things that I just cannot do. There's friendships and relationships I cannot pursue. There's preaching engagements I would love to be taking that I cannot say yes to. And while we've got a kid with colic, I'm having to say no to every single preaching opportunity that comes my way at the moment, because I'm more concerned about Michelle not burning out than I am about me being the superstar preacher on a little trip around Wales preaching to everyone. If I was single, that wouldn't be the case. If I was single, I'd be able to focus on me and God. And that's not selfish. For some people, that's their calling, that's their life. And do you know what? God bless them in it, because they can do so much more for Jesus than I can. Okay? So I'm not saying that, you know, that means that you should all aspire to be single, and that I want you all to sort of like be single by next week. That's not what I'm saying at all. But if you are single, are you willing to remain single if that's the calling that God has got for you? It's a big, big question to ask. But I've got to ask it, because I'm not going to sort of say, well, you should be married, and if you're not, there's something wrong with you. I'm going to say that God says, hey, there's a blessing and a gift and a strength to singleness that the church really needs. You know, people like Evan Roberts, the 1904 revivalist, I read about him, and he just done so much amazing stuff. As he traveled around Wales, he preached some amazing sermons, the Spirit fell, 100,000 people became Christians in a couple of years through his ministry. Do you know what? The guy wasn't married. If he was married, he wouldn't have had a wife left by the end of it, because there's no way he could have done what he'd done. No way he could have done what he'd done without being a bad husband and neglecting his wife and neglecting his family and done all the stuff which he did. And Evan Roberts is one of those heroes that's flagged up as like, he was an absolute soldier for this nation. I totally agree he was. Yeah? And I've had to resign myself to the fact, well, I'm married, so I can't just go and do all that stuff, because my wife matters to me. I want her to be, I want to be being Jesus to her and looking after my family. So singleness is neither sinful nor second best. Here we go. Let's go to the next bit. Another thing which Paul says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Our stance at Hill City Church is, if you're called to singleness, God bless you. Live it, do it, live the dream. And if you're married, or you're called to marriage, and you just know, well, singleness isn't what I'm called to, then all I'm saying is just like, pursue that. Live the dream. We're with you. We're backing you. Okay. Here's some scriptures about marriage. Some, because that's what I believe all relationships should be pointing towards. Some of these are going to sound really strong. I want to just re-emphasize again, I feel like such a hypocrite talking about relationships and talking about marriage, because I have just been shameful in my life as a Christian. Here they go. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership is righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship is light with darkness? The word yoked is a ploughing term from the New Testament, where you'd have two oxen, and a yoke was what tied their necks together. And they would plough the furrow, and they'd walk side by side, and they'd do the ploughing. If you had two oxen that were the different size or different strength, or or just weren't used to working together, they would do that, and they wouldn't plough in a straight line. That's what that is saying. And I'm going to address this a bit in a minute, guys, because I know that this is it's a sensitive issue. And again, hear me right. I am not just bringing a sledgehammer here. I'm just reading what I believe is the scriptures. I believe if you're single here this morning and you're a Christian, this is what you should be pursuing. If you're you should be pursuing a marriage to another Christian. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And that's why I want to bring the book, not my own personal attitudes. This one's a big one in our culture. Ready for this? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church's body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Do you know what? Like, we live in a culture and a context where girl power says, I ain't submitting to no one. I'm my own boss. I ain't having no bloke telling me what to do. And the Bible says that if we're to believe that Jesus is the head and we're the bride, then just as we're meant to say yes to God because he's like bigger than us, not in the fact that blokes are better, because blokes are, trust me, blokes are worse. Blokes are, there's so many dipsticks like me. So I'm not saying that wives should submit to husbands, because we get it right all the time. But because it's a picture of the gospel, wives should be willing to say, do you know what, on the big issues, I'm willing to submit to you on this. And that's massive. Because it's just totally countercultural. Everything in our culture says, nah, I'll do what I want. The Bible says, nah. If you want to be, if you're a Christian girl and you want to be married, are you willing to submit to your husband? Big. Second one. You think that's big? This one's even bigger. This one hurts. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let me tell you what that means. Jesus loves you and me so much that he was willing to come and die for us. He said that your sin had put you in such peril, your life was so mashed up, that I was willing to do whatever it took to sort you out, even come and die on a cross and be sacrificed in your place. So, I believe if it's a husband who's willing to lay his life down for the benefit of his wife and for the benefit of his family, it's not hard for a woman to submit to a husband who loves her that much. If a bloke is willing to say, do you know what, whatever it takes, I'll do it, I'll sacrifice it, I'll make whatever payment has to be made, personally, physically, emotionally, to make sure that you are okay. Because you are my girl, you are the apple of my eye. Nothing is going to damage you, nothing is going to harm you, nothing is going to upset you. I'm going to make sure that you're looked after no matter what it takes. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so that is why this is a big deal, because it paints a picture of the gospel. And so often we forget this bit and we get these really just abusive, tyrannical, stupid blokes who think that women should do what they say and they do not love their girl like Christ loved the church. And it's got to be both. Otherwise it's bullying. And we're not done with bullies in Hill City Church. Most of you know what I saw on Christmas morning outside my house. I saw a bloke beating the living daylights out of a woman outside my house at 1 o'clock on Christmas morning. Ruined my Christmas. I had to run out and shout at him and he ran down the street. Do you know what? That is what Hill City Church is about. Because women are precious. And our families are precious. And guys, if you're a bloke and you want to be married, are you willing to do whatever it takes to protect your girl? To provide for your girl? Because if you are, then maybe you're ready to be married. Some other scriptures about marriage. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Can I just say, if the red flag's waving in your head, same as that, right? I'm not saying that I've been sexually pure my whole life, all right? I just can't say that because I'd be a liar. But what I will say is that we should, as a church and as Christians, hold marriage in honour. We shouldn't rejoice when people's marriages fall apart. We should not say, oh, well, I knew that would happen. Marriage is something which we should rejoice, we should celebrate. And marriage should be held in honour among all. Next one. All that said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. A good thing. It's terrible, isn't it? Michelle's not a thing. Just wanted to say that for the record. And obtains favour from the Lord. So the ultimate question is, all that said, so where do you find a wife then? Where's the wife shop or the wife tree? I want to go and buy one. I want to go and pick one. Where do I find a wife? Where do I find a husband? You know, I feel that I'm called to be in a relationship. I feel that, you know, relationally, there's no way that singleness is a ministry for me. So how do I find a wife or a husband? Where do I find a life partner? Someone that I can like walk this journey with and is going to love, you know, is going to be in that love relationship, that committed covenant relationship with me. That's what we're going to look at now. I've got some questions to ask. Now, for those of you who are married or who are in a relationship, I guess, you know, just try and get as much as you can out of this. But if you're not in a relationship and you think that one day you'd like to be in a relationship, what an entrance. Dun, dun, dun. Police. Some personal questions to ask. Question number one I want to ask. How is your walk with Jesus? If you're single, do you still walk closely with Jesus? Or do you see being in a relationship as what is actually going to complete you? Or do you already acknowledge that you stand complete in Christ regardless? This is a big one because I know so many who are not content to be single and therefore they don't walk closely with Jesus as a consequence. Are you walking closely with Jesus? Because if God is going to trust, if you're a bloke, if God is going to trust one of his princesses to you, you best be walking closely with God. Because God's not going to trust one of his beautiful princesses to some dipstick. He's just not. Okay? If you're a princess, you need to be walking closely with Jesus so you can discern the difference between a dipstick and a disciple. So whoever you are, if you're single, walk closely with Jesus. How is your walk with Jesus? Not how would you like it to be, not how should it be, but do you spend time in the Bible and hear his voice? Do you spend time in prayer and just know that you're connecting with him? Do you know that your heart is for him no matter what? Do you know, do you see looking down the, you know, the years of your life since when you became a Christian and this day that you're becoming more like Christ, not less like Christ? Do you see growth? Do other people see growth? Ask people in your life, you know, friends, family, who know what you were like and what, you know, say to them, do you see Jesus in me? Am I an advocate for Jesus Christ? How am I doing? Because I want to know how I'm doing, because what I don't want you to do is to think, well, it doesn't matter how you're doing with Jesus, and if you get a relationship, then it's all sorted, because it's not. And to come to that in a minute with some personal testimonies, and it's difficult for me to talk about it. Second one, are you marriage material? Are you the sort of person that should be getting married? If you're a bloke, literally, are you the sort of bloke that is in a position to get married? Are you loyal? Have you got a track record of faithfulness? Are you in a good job? Are you the sort of person that is going to be able to raise kids, you know, without being abusive? Are you the sort of person that is going to be trustworthy in every area? Are you the sort of person that cares more for others than you do for yourself? All these questions, guys. You know, if you want to get married, make sure that you're worth marrying. Are you a bloke who will stand up and get in between your wife and your kids and any trouble, any problems, or are you going to just sort of put your head down and say, oh, well, they can sort it out themselves? Because a husband is meant to be a protector and a provider and just a strong, just a strong tower for his wife. And are you working towards that now? Are you saying, well, while I'm single, I'm going to just make sure that I'm working on this, I'm going to make sure that I'm taking care, whatever needs to be taken care of in my life, so that when that woman comes along, she sees me and she goes, yes, I can marry that man. He seems to be together. He seems to have his house in order. And girls, literally, same question's got to go to you as well. Are you marriage material? Are you a girl who would make a good wife? Are you a girl who is faithful? Are you a girl who is chaste? Let me tell you what that means, and this is a massive one. I'm just going to say this, and this is really uncomfortable for me to say, but I just got to say it, all right? One of the biggest problems for Christian blokes in this world is women who wear low-cut tops and short skirts and look like any bloke that comes along, they're just giving their attention. Are you a woman who looks like you're easily chased and easily won? Or are you a woman who is like actually godly and who says to all the blokes around, you know what, I'm not available to everyone, I'm not available to you lot, I'm God's, I'm my husband's when I meet him. It's not mentioned enough in church, the way that blokes conduct themselves, and the way that blokes think, and the way that women dress, and the women conduct themselves. So I'm just going to say it, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but as a Christian who's still 32, and I was in my 20s a few years ago, it's very difficult being a Christian in some churches, because the women look like slappers. And I'm meant to be keeping a pure mind so I can fix my eyes on Jesus. And all I see is like cleavages. And frankly, it's distracting. So if you're a woman, you want to get married, make sure that you're chaste. Make sure that you're not going to be a slapper for your husband, yeah? I just want to say it as bluntly as I can. Thank you for listening. I want to be... I've never said that in a pulpit ever before. All the girls are like... That to say, I'm very pleased with Hill City Church, because we don't have many of those in this, well, any of those as far as I can tell in this church. Oh no. Fire exit. I don't know. Just preaching the word. Well, now we're there in Controversyville. No, that's right, yeah. While we're in Controversyville, just one final thing. I'll aim it at the blokes, but if you're a woman and the cap fits. Do you look at pornography? Because if you do, you're not yet marriage material. If you've got an addiction to internet porn, then you're not ready to be in a relationship with one of God's princes or princesses. If that's an issue to you and you need help with that, you need prayer for that, you want to like break free from that, my job as a pastor isn't to just stand here in the pulpit and say outrageous things. My job is also to be available to you, to pray for you, to help you, to talk to you, and to help you through stuff like that. I want you to be in freedom for stuff like that as well, okay? Are you marriage material? Third question. I know it's taking ages, but you know, I'm in the zone now. Is there a reason why you're single at the moment? I could put body odor. You need to floss. I could put something like that, but there are actually some very strong reasons why singleness for a season can be a very healthy thing. I'll put a few of them up here. This isn't exhaustive, this is just what came to me. Healing. If you've been in a relationship which was abusive, or which was destructive, or which left you feeling hurt, or broken, or vulnerable, and you haven't dealt with that, you've just jumped into another relationship, I want to tell you that singleness can be a season where you can receive that healing, where relationally God can fix you up on the inside so that you are in a position to be in a relationship again. But if you've been hurt or in any way, you know, treated badly, either as a woman or a man, then healing can come when you're single. I see it so often, just serial relationship after relationship after relationship, and all you get is a big bag, and there's more and more stuff goes in that bag, and it's never dealt with, so that, like, you know, down the line there's just this massive bag of stuff, and you don't know how to deal with it. You don't even want to look in that bag. You don't even want to think about the past, because there's so much stuff in there that hasn't been dealt with, and they haven't been healed from, and it's just too painful, so you just carry it, and life gets heavier, and life gets harder, and all it does is it brings more destruction into your relationships. Sometimes God allows us to be in this season of singleness so that we can heal. Second thing is sometimes we need to repent. We've been in relationship, and like, I've been there. I'll tell you about that a bit later. But sometimes God wants us to be single so we face up to Him and say, you know what, I shouldn't have been with that person. I shouldn't have done that thing. That stuff I was involved with, that was wrong. I wanted to spend some time bringing that before the cross, confessing that, finding your forgiveness for that, and knowing that I can move on as a new creation. Rather than having to walk the rest of my life with my eyes down and my head low, because I know that, like, I've blown it. Third thing, freedom. As I said, if there's any addictions, any things in our life, anything which has been going wrong and which we're not free from, be that stuff like internet porn, be that stuff like any kind of substance abuse or anything like that, if there's anything which we need freedom from, God will allow us to go through a season of singleness, because He doesn't want us to have to be like dragging that into other people's lives and messing their lives up with the same stuff. That's God's grace to them and to you. Fourth thing. Sometimes God just wants to save us from ourselves and save other people from us as well. At one point in my life, I'm just going to share a very, very little bit of testimony, and then I'm going to move on again, okay? I never went into one relationship in my life without thinking, could this go the distance? I was never flippant in relationships. I was never into flings, ever. That said, between the ages of 16... and 24, the longest I went without a girlfriend was 6 weeks in 8 years. It started off with them not being too bad, and then something happened when I was about 20, 21, that sort of age. A girl I'd been with for 18 months cheated on me, broke my heart, and I was confronted with, what do you do with that? What do you take from that? I'd been with her for 18 months, and I believe I got on the wrong train. And I believe I got on the train, which was a string of destructive, stupid relationships where I was a jerk, where I broke people's hearts, where I was just totally out of control emotionally, relationally. And it's not easy for me to admit this, because I'm your pastor. I'm meant to be the superhero, right? I'm meant to be the one that, like, has never done anything wrong, but I'm not. You need to see me for who I am, guys. I'm a trophy of God's grace. And for 8 years, I was in relationship after relationship after relationship. And it came to a point where I'd been with another girl, and I'd broken up with her after 12 months. And it affected her so badly that she had to have counseling, and she had to have help, because she just couldn't cope with the pain of rejection after 12 months. I basically trampled on her heart. I had to go to my pastor in Cardiff. I was in ministry at this point. I just started as a full-time Christian worker. It was the first year that happened. And I confessed this stuff to him. And do you know what he said? He said, you need to come out of ministry. Which, for somebody like, you know, who just thinks that you know, that's the calling on your life, was the hardest thing I've ever heard. And he said, you need to stay out of a relationship for at least 6 months. Just stay out of a relationship for 6 months. Just don't do this to anyone else. Because I confessed everything to him. And I did. It was in that time I met Michelle, by God's grace. And me and Michelle never went out, in inverted commas. Because we were both sick of screwing our lives up and screwing other people's lives up. But I needed a period of time for God to save me from myself and save other people from who I'd become. As a Christian, but who I'd become. God will give us this period of singleness for the purpose of salvation. And finally, because He just wants to build character in us. We're still a work in progress, aren't we? And sometimes, as I said, if you're in a place of singleness, God's just got your attention. He wants to make you who He wants you to be. Okay, we're almost finished. Just three very quick things. So if you believe that marriage is for you, if you believe that you want to be in a relationship, how do you wait? Three ways we can wait. Number one, resentfully. God, I thought that if I was a Christian, you were going to sort my life out. I thought that if I followed you, if I said no to all that stuff, if I said yes to you, you were going to become my glorified vending machine and give me what I want and what I need. I'm still waiting. What's going on? It might not be quite that blunt or quite that Cardiff, but like the bottom line is, that is what a lot of people who have been single for a long time end up saying. God, you hate me? You got a problem with me? What have I done? Why is it that everyone else is sorted out and I'm not? We can wait resentfully saying, God, me and you got problems because you know what I need and you're not giving it to me. Second way that we can wait, rebelliously. And that is my story. If you were to say to me, right, I've been married to Michelle now for 7 years. By God's grace, I've been faithful to her that whole time. By God's grace, the stuff which has screwed my life up, I had known victory from before I got in a relationship with her. So by God's grace, I can say I've got a beautiful marriage. Is it hard work? Absolutely, because I'm in it. But it's still a great marriage. But here's what I want to say, guys, okay? Is that if you were to say to me, if you could trade every stupid relationship that you had from the teenager all the way to Michelle, and you could say, just scrap all that, and you could just wait it and spend time with God and just being a strong Christian for that time, and then met Michelle, would you do it? And I would say, like a shot. Like a shot. Because I screwed my life up, and I screwed up so many other lives by messing around with women and messing around with relationships. And do you know what? It's bunk. And all I did was waited rebelliously. I want to tell you this, like, this is a true thing which... When me and Michelle knew we were going to get married, and you know, we knew straight away, and because I was in this position where like the church had said, don't be in a relationship, so we weren't, but we were still chatting, we were still in friendship, we were still chatting about stuff, I knew that I had to tell her my past. I knew that I had to say to her, if you want to marry me, if you want to be with me, you need to know who I've been and who I've been with. You need to know the whole picture, so there's nothing comes up in our future together where you're like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that had happened. I can still remember clearly, and the story gets funny in a minute, but I still remember clearly sitting in the back of my escort van, because you have an escort van with alloys, next to Lanishan Reservoir, right? Because I was a rude boy, innit? I had a subwoofer this big, but I still managed to fit me and Michelle in the back. And for about an hour, I just had to tell her my past. It was shameful. But you know what? The reason I could tell her is because I'd experienced God's grace in the midst of it. I could tell her somebody who'd been forgiven, not somebody who was still condemned by guilt. I could tell her somebody who knew freedom and who knew the smile of a loving God, regardless of all the stuff that I'd done wrong. And she had to confess stuff to me as well, but trust me, my list was a lot longer. And I wished I hadn't been that person, but I had. And by God's grace, I was still forgiven, and I was still able to sort of say, but I'm a new creation by God's grace. But if you wait rebelliously, you will get a list. If you wait rebelliously, you will make mistakes, which at some point down the line need to be dealt with. The third way you can wait is righteously. Say, God, I love you. I know that you love me. I know that I don't understand. I don't see the big picture. But I know that when your Bible says that you have that you know the plans you have for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me hope and a bright future, I know that's true. I know that if I walk according to my own understandings, I'm going to screw it up. But I know that if I acknowledge my ways before you, you will direct my paths. You can wait righteously. And can I say to you, if you want to be in a relationship, please wait righteously. Please prioritize walking with Jesus. Please prioritize the Bible and prayer. Please don't try and play God and just say, well, I'll try this one out. I'll try this one out. Michelle had a relative who once told her that like going out with people was like going to a sweet shop. You got to try every sweet in the shop before you know which one like is your favorite. So you should just go out with as many people as you want until you work out what's your variety. Don't do that. Don't do that. Wait righteously. And let God in his time and in his grace and in his goodness provide for you the right person to make you a helper fit for you, to walk you down the aisle of your life at the right time. And for you to say, whoa, man, when she arrives. Michelle still wanted to marry me because she knew that I had genuinely encountered God's grace. And next to Lanishan Reservoir, we then went and sat on a bench. We started play fighting. We fell off the bench and I broke her wrist. And I had to take her to Heath Hospital and explain why the woman with the guy with the skinhead, who just looks more aggressive than he should as a Christian, had just brought her in with a broken arm. And we said it was falling off a bench, and blatantly thought I was just an abusive partner. But I wasn't. But anyway, she married me. I'll finish very quickly with this, guys. You've listened so well. I'm sorry it's been a bit of a... It's just a splurge from my heart this morning. Last thing I want to say. This is a challenge for unbelievers, and that's literally this. You can come here this morning and you can hear what I'm saying and you can think, you know what, they're just obsessed about marriage and they're just obsessed about, like, you know, going out with Christians and marrying Christians. And do you know what? There's only one relationship that ultimately matters. And that's still this one, not this one. These ones are important. Our marriages, our friends, our families, these relationships are so important to our society and to our world. But if you haven't got this one sorted, you've missed why you were created. The only way that I can love Michelle like she deserves is because I know his love and I love him back. Because I got this one sorted. So this is what Paul wrote, and I'll finish with this scripture. He said, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled." That means brought back into relationship to God. "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is what Paul is saying. He says, listen, God wants to be in relationship with you. That is the big picture. That's the big story. And like, let's not get sidetracked on other things right now. Let's focus on this. If you're not in relationship with God, he can give you the perfect partner for life, or he cannot. But if you're not in relationship with him, you have not got what you do truly need. Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? Are you reconciled to him? God sent his son Jesus to hang on a cross in your place and my place so that my list could be paid for. And there's a lot of other lists of a lot of other things that needed paying for because my sin had cut me off from God. I had done so many shameful things in my life. And Christ died for it all because he says, "I love you. And I want you to be happy, and I want you to be fulfilled. I want you to have a life which is purposeful, but I want it to be in relationship with me." And the big picture of the Bible isn't God wants you to have a husband and a wife, or a wife. The big picture of the Bible is that God wants to be in relationship with you. And he's done everything that was needed so that that can happen. All you need to do is come to the cross, dump your bag of rubbish, and say, "Sorry for screwing my life up. If that's how much you love me, I want it. And if you want to be the boss of my life, you can be. Because you seem to be really good at not screwing things up. And I seem to be really good at screwing things up. So please, save me. Save me from myself. Save others from me. Make me the man or the woman that you want me to be. So that if then I do end up in a marriage, or I do end up as a mum or a dad, or I do end up as a friend, or I can do it your way, with your love and your strength and your power." And I'm not going to be preaching on marriage every week in Hill City Church, praise God, because I've been sweating pints this morning, even trying to. But what I am going to be preaching about every single week in Hill City Church is God loves you and he wants to be with you. And the mega theme of the Bible, above all themes, is God wants to be with you. Forever. And this is my promise to you. Every single Christian will one day get married. Might not be in this world, but you will marry Jesus Christ himself. It freaks me out that I'm going to be the bride. I don't like the idea of being the one in the dress. I keep that quiet and trevethin. Hey! Walk down the Central Drive now. I'm the bride! They'd be like... But if you come to Jesus Christ one day, it's like this world will be your engagement where you know that day is coming, but one day you will be brought into perfect, blissful, relational harmony with him for eternity because the Lamb himself shed his blood to take his sin away and he rose again. My bridegroom's alive. And he loves you. Guys, if any of this stuff has opened up stuff in your situations, in your lives, if it's like stuff, you know, I know it's difficult to talk about relationships that are just hurting at so many different levels. I want to say to you that me and Michelle, we're both willing to chat stuff through with you, to pray things through with you, to be, you know, to help you, to pastor you. We love you so much. We really do. We want what's best for you. We really do. And I appreciate it's gone on this morning. I just don't want you to be screwed up. I don't want you to have anxiety. I want you to have Jesus. Yeah? Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you that not one of us would be stupid enough to put our hands up and say, "I'm perfect." Lord, our sin affects us in every way, especially relationally. And all I want to say, Lord God, is thank you that you pursued us anyway. Thank you that you love us anyway. Thank you that you desire to be with us. Lord, for those here who are in marriage, my prayer is just that they would just know your grace. Where things are hard, Lord, they would know your strength. Where things are great, Lord, they would know your joy. I pray you'd be at the heart, Lord, in each marriage represented here this morning. I want to pray, Lord God, for those who desire marriage, Lord, that you would just, at the right time, bring that right person to them. And in the meantime, help them to wait righteously. Lord, for those who are called to a life of singleness, may they be the next Evan Roberts. And may they do great exploits for you, knowing the joy of Jesus in all that they do. Thank you for this time this morning, Lord. We love you. You're good to us. Amen. Enjoy your coffee, guys.